Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to week two of two middle-aged men in Cleveland. Ted Klopp here, Ken Dworznik there, and a lot of interesting feedback we got in the last week, right, Ken?
Yeah, surprisingly, we've had over 110 people have listened to our broadcasts. So, Ted, great job paying people off. I know with your deep pockets, you're able to do that. I was able to do the same, but once again, this is just something fun that Ted and I came up with, and we appreciate everyone listening, and hopefully you continue and talk about some great topics.
Yeah, we're just giving you the perspective of two middle-aged men in Cleveland. You know, this COVID thing is frustrating and difficult to deal with at times, and so we're just figured we'd talk on a weekly basis for everybody to hear and see what you think, and we'll see how it goes here. So far so good, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think one thing that everyone wants to hear from us, Ted, is our wonderful stories. You know, You and I have very interesting lives, and we always seem to have interesting stories, if it's something with our families or experiences we have or anything. Anything fun from this past weekend that you would like to share?
Well, you know, when you say interesting, I make me shake my head, but I guess this is kind of interesting. So, you know, we have three little boys, 6, 7, and 8 years old, and we got two of them now to where they're riding bikes with no training wheels. And with COVID, we're doing more biking. And so my wife decided that we need a bike rack, because the bikes have gotten so big that if we go somewhere and we want to ride our bike, you know, go to the Metro Park, something like that, they don't really fit in the car anymore. So we need a bike rack. So she had me call, and we get this hitch installed on our minivan. And she orders on Amazon the bike rack. It's a 5-bike rack. Comes in a box. And so on Saturday, before we go biking anywhere, my boys wanted to bike up to their school, which is about 3 miles. And I said, you know, they might get tired before they get there or when they get there. So we should be prepared for, you know, somebody to come and pick us up. And we got to be able to take these bikes back. So we should get this bike rack on.
What's that?
Yeah, I got a backup plan. Absolutely. So I put this thing together, and I'm ready to put it on the car. I take it over to the car, and the hitch is smaller than the bike rack connection. They don't connect.
Good.
Okay, that's a problem. It's not going to work. So I call the folks who installed the bike rack, and they said, you know, I got this bike rack that the thing is 2 inches, and the hitch is only 1¼ inches. It's supposed to be 2 inches. Oh, well, sir, you know, well, first guy I talked to was just like, oh, well, we'll have to swap it out, but we got disconnected. So then I called back, and I talked to another guy who seemed much more knowledgeable. He said, sir, some vehicles can only take, you know, a certain size. And so you need to put on an adapter. And at our store, we have adapters. Okay, great. So I need 1¼ inches to a 2-inch adapter for this bike rack. So I go up to this place, and I buy. I said, this is what I need. The guy says, yeah. I buy the adapter. And I come home, put the adapter on. There's no bolt. You think we're ready to go? No, no bolt.
No bolt.
So now I got to go to the hardware store. So I go to the hardware store. I take the adapter with me. Get the right bolt. Come back. And finally, we're ready to go. So we biked 3 miles up to school on Saturday. And they got tired. Well, they got tired after we got there, and then they played kickball for a while. And then we biked up there again on Sunday. So that's my bike rack story.
That's a lot. It sounds like a scavenger hunt, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, when you say they were tired, do you mean yourself or the children?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to hear, because yeah. I know I would be after that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice to get the kids outside in a line.
It is good to get the kids outside. My wife rode in the minivan and kept their eye on us. And they did very well, so I was pretty happy. And they rode their, they wore their hockey helmets to bike. And I had a guy pull up next to us at a traffic light. He said, "I love the hockey helmets." I said, "You got to do what you got to do."
That's awesome.
So
we also had a very similar, not that type of experience, obviously, as you just talked about, but we did get outside ourselves. We went to Lakeview Cemetery, which I must say is the first time I've ever been there. What a beautiful place. Many historical people have their graves there with President Garfield or Rockefeller and things like that. But it's just a really, really nice place. We had a very enjoyable time. I mean, my gosh, you can walk for miles and miles there. They have different paths you can go and all that stuff. And it wasn't super crowded. A lot of social distancing and all that. So if people have an opportunity to get out there and check that out and spend some time, I'd highly recommend it. It's just so nice. I actually had the opportunity to have my children this weekend, and just like everybody else, we're limited on what we can do and where we can go, and so we like to do those things. But I'll be honest with you, after a while, you really do just want to get out of the house, because if you look at your children using electronics or iPads or anything like that for one more second, you're ready to blow. There's no doubt.
Well, it was exciting at our house on Saturday. We had an iPadless day.
Oh, nice.
Which was pretty impressive. I was pretty happy with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that for you or the children?
Well, for the children.
I like that. That's
That
is a beautiful thing.
Do a lot of Roblox. They do a lot of Minecraft. And, you know, we try to limit it. They get on my oldest son. We'll use Zoom or he'll use FaceTime. And he gets on the phone or on the iPad, whatever, with his cousins. And so they interact. So it's kind of like a virtual play date, you might say. And so that's good. But, you know, you gotta limit that. So they did well. We actually had a day and a half of no iPads. That went through most of the day Sunday. When we got back from the bike ride, I said to my wife, I said, you know, they did really well. Let's give them a reward. They can have their iPads for a while. So so we did that. But yeah, that was I was pretty happy with that. Now, do your kids are they on the iPads a lot?
Well, they use computers obviously because they're still going to school, so they're on the computers most of the day as it is, just doing their lessons from their schools. And then my son does drum lessons virtually, and then they also do Taekwondo lessons virtually. So there's a lot of computer work. My daughter loves the iPad, you know, obviously watching different Disney shows and all that stuff. My son, not so much. He's got his phone. He likes to play some games and all that. But anytime we can try to get him away from electronics is certainly great. I know one of the other things I've had the opportunity to experience with, you know, my kids and also other people in my family is actually going golfing. That's one of the things that you can do, certainly virtually, or not virtually, but obviously having social distance, which is great. And I've had the opportunity to play probably about 5 or 6 times. And boy, a lot of the courses have really done a nice job. Obviously, Ridgewood Golf Course in Parma. I played North Olmsted, a little par 3. They've done a great job. Royal Crest and Columbia Station. I mean, very safe. If you're going to ride in a cart, they put one person in the cart. They wipe everything down. And it's been great. It's really been great. And I guess part of my frustration is the consistency of how everything's being done during this COVID. And it seems like there's a lot of confusion for a lot of different people. And I'll just use golf as an experience. One thing I will say about our podcast, we'll be very positive, and I will certainly compliment businesses when I think they do a good job. But I'm not going to be in a boat right now or put myself in a spot or you or anybody else. If we have a negative experience, we're not going to say that business's name. We just don't do that. We'll use examples. So I talked about the golf and been out 5 or 6 times, have had a great experience in many different courses. I will say one experience I had on a course on the east side, it made it though seem as though nothing was going on, like there was no COVID situation whatsoever. I mean, I've experienced people wearing masks in obviously only riding one person to a cart and all that kind of stuff. And actually, most of the times when I play, I've been walking, which actually gives me some extra exercise. And luckily, we don't have video with this podcast, and people would say, Ken, you do need to walk. There's no doubt about that. But one course that myself and my fiance and my future stepson decided to go to on the east side, we just kind of showed up and they had some great rates. And so we played at like 6:30. And we show up and it's like there was no COVID whatsoever. No COVID concern. Everybody didn't have a mask on. Everybody in the facility, you know, was just kind of walking around. People were, you know, two in a cart like I've seen before. It was very interesting. And I'm not certainly trying to put this in a situation where, you know, I'm saying that these people are right, wrong, or different. But in all honesty, I just want something that's consistent. I want to play by the rules. I want to stay safe. When I'm stepping into a restaurant or I'm stepping into some sort of establishment, I just basically want to know if what I'm supposed to do. You know, I would compare this to when I fly or something like that with the TSA. You know, what are the rules? What do you want me to do? And in this situation, I will say, I think a lot of people are confused. We had the opportunity to, after we went to Lakeview Cemetery last week, we also, you know, went to a couple of different places to have something to eat and things like that. And one of the places we went to, they had a sign up that said, we will not serve you unless you have a mask on. If you don't have a mask, we will not serve you. And the way I look at it is, you know, I think they're just certainly trying to do the things to keep people safe. And I understand it. One of the places we went to, there's a gentleman there that was not very happy with that and didn't want to wear a mask or buy a mask from them. And so he was not served and he left. And well, I think this is something we're going to have to experience for quite a while. I just ask that I wish it was, you know, in a perfect world, things are more consistent. So we know exactly how to react and how to plan when we go to these establishments.
Well, what patrons need to recognize is that much like as a consumer, I can take my business where I want it. That business is private property. And within the confines of the laws of the state, the nation, the local laws, they can require whatever they want. And in this case, they required masks. And the gentleman you mentioned got upset, but that's private property. So they can, you know, they don't have to serve him now. You know, oh, is he being discriminated against? That's, you know, that's a bigger issue. But yeah, they have that rule. If he doesn't like it, he can take his business elsewhere. So, you know, I think people need to keep in mind that a lot of these places that you want to go are not public. They're open to the public. That doesn't mean they are public places. They are private property. A mall is private property. It's open to the public, but it's private property. So I think that's something that's important to keep in mind. You know, I was talking about my bike story when I went to my bike rack story. When I went to the first place to get the adapter, I go in and I've got the adapter and it's $25 plus tax. So I have my 20, my 5, and my 2 1s. I put the thing down. And I get out my $27 to give to the guy. The guy says, sir, we're not taking cash.
Wow.
I said, what do you mean you're not taking cash? Sir, we're not taking cash. I said, well, what if that's all I got? He said, well, sir, I'm sorry, we're not taking cash. So I had to go back to my car, get a credit card. I came back in. This is the part I didn't understand. So I get the credit card. I slide the thing over. I'm thinking the guy's going to have me, you know, run the credit card so there's no contact, right? Now, he takes the item that I handed him. I've handled it. Now he handles it so he can run it. And then he extends his hand to take the credit card. And he runs the credit card, holding the credit card that I just pulled out of the wallet where the money was. Yeah. And I said, can you help me understand what the difference is between handling my credit card and handling my cash? Sir, I'm sorry, they don't want us to take cash. Okay.
Okay, yep.
And then that's I go to the hardware store, and there's lots of people wearing masks. I go to the guy in the back, the old guy that, you know, you always find the old guy that he knows he's been around forever, and he knows every bolt and every nut and screw that you could possibly find. That's the guy you always want to talk to. So I'm looking for this bolt for the bike rack, and I'm in the aisle. I didn't have my mask with me because I forgot it. I would have worn my mask. I'm in this store. Gentleman comes up from the store. He has no mask on, and he's standing right next to me. Can I help you? I said, sure. And I explained him what I needed. He got it out for me, handed it to me, and off we went. And they did take cash at that store. So when you talk about, you know, confusion, things like that, that's, you know, it's frustrating. Now, I will tell you, we got some good news over the weekend for our kids. A couple of weeks ago, I think before we started this podcast, I mentioned that their summer camp got canceled. So we've been looking for other summer camps. Well, we got one.
Oh, that's great.
We have a Lego camp that's Monday through Friday. So we've signed up for the month of June. They're taking 9 kids a day. And we got in. So they're out of the house. It's great. And they're excited. They got Lego camp. And then that was Saturday we got that news. Sunday, we found out that the hockey camp that my two oldest boys are signed up for, that's supposed to start June 1st. The gentleman expects that he'll be able to start on time on June 1st. No parameters yet. He just said, I'll have more information, but I'm expecting to be able to start on time. So that's exciting.
That is exciting news. And, you know, when the governor mentioned that certainly going to open camps up, I think he thought of that and others thought of that is because that is the secondary daycare for many working parents.
Absolutely.
With school being out this next week and all that kind of stuff. I think that was a very good thing. And once again, I mean, everyone's going to have to follow proper procedures and all that stuff. And we'll see how all that goes. But I do think that's, you know, if things are done safely, social distancing and all that, my two kids are actually going through a little bit of a golf lesson right now, some golf instruction in Medina.
Yep.
My son had a lesson this past Sunday and it was great. I mean, the kids were 10 feet apart. I mean, once again, I think golf is a great social distancing type of activity. And he was able to do that and get some instruction. And we were there for an hour and it was great. Because, you know, no one got close to one another. When he was done, he just walked back and went in the car and we left. It was just wonderful. So I'm glad that we're trying to take some steps, certainly to try to have a little bit more normalcy. Once again, doing it in a safe way, but I think many different people, you know, certainly are looking to get an opportunity to get out of the house and do some things. And I'm glad we're certainly trying to do that in a safe way.
You know, when we talk about social distancing and sports, I have something that talk about confusion. I have something that I want to play for you concerning tennis in New Jersey. I want you to listen to this just to talk about, you know, eliminate any confusion here. This has to do with tennis in New Jersey.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush, sorry.
Just in case you were unclear on the parameters for tennis, you can kick the balls. You can kick the other people's balls. You cannot touch the other people's balls. Are you clear on that?
I'm crystal clear.
I want to make sure that our listeners, there's no confusion. I don't know if there's anybody listening in New Jersey, but maybe this is something that Governor DeWine here in Ohio needs to consider when he sets up the parameters for the opening of tennis courts. No kicking of other people's balls. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch their balls.
Kicking, not touching.
Do you have any questions about that?
I'm good.
I'm good on that. I brought the show to a halt here for some
reason. It's very blurry.
Yeah.
The kicking, not the touching. I've had the opportunity to talk to a couple different friends who live in different states and obviously like to compare what's going on in Ohio compared to other states. I have a friend that does live in Indiana who mentioned to me that with sports, obviously there's a big concern with many different people with high school sports and college sports and what's going to happen in the fall. Obviously there's many different health administrators and doctors that feel as though there could be quote unquote a second surge coming up in the fall. So one thing that the state of Indiana is talking about with their high school sports is they are actually looking to possibly switch the fall and spring seasons, which means that they would have baseball, softball, and track in the fall, and in the spring they would have football, soccer, and cross country, things like that. And in all honesty, the reason they want to do that, many of the athletic departments rely on the money from football specifically, and they want to make sure they get their 5 or 6 games in. So at least in the state of Indiana, this is something they're looking at. I imagine they're probably doing that in many other states as well.
Well, we talked about this last week. Follow the money.
Yeah, correct.
Follow the money.
They're all, and unfortunately, they're all doing that. They're all doing that.
It's interesting. It's interesting. And, you know, so much of this is political with regard to who's choosing to do what and when and things like that. And, you know, you see, as we are approaching, we have an election coming up in November. As we're approaching that, we're starting to see more and more of the political yard signs pop up, you know, vote for this person or vote, for this issue or against this issue or whatever. As a middle-aged guy in Cleveland, what's your thought on, have you ever put a political yard sign up?
I have not, and it's not because I'm not trying to support somebody or not support somebody or send a message or anything. It's just the way I grew up. My parents grew up in Parma, and I think there was one time, and I need to double check this, I think there was one time they put up a sign. It was actually for a gentleman by the name of Sean Brennan, who was running at the time for city council in Parma, and I know our families we're friends for a very long time through St. Charles. But other than that, I can't remember a time when my parents did that, nor I did that. It was one of those things that we didn't do that. I think it was maybe just because we wanted to be PC and didn't want to show, you know, a slight to one candidate to another, but we've never done that. How about yourself or your family?
Well, I've never done that. My parents, when I lived at home, we never did that. However, this year, just to be clear, we live in a side-by-side with my in-laws. So we're in the same building, share the same lawn. So, you know, we talk a lot. And my in-laws are very motivated with what they're seeing in the country right now. They want to put out some political yard signs. And I was talking to my wife about this. I'm curious about your thought on this. So, you know, people can voice their opinion, and that's fine, well and good. And I'm not, you know, it'll certainly register with me, and I'll keep it in mind. I'm not going to necessarily treat them any differently. But I worry about it from the standpoint of my kids playing in the neighborhood. If I put a sign out and I'm for Donald Trump or I'm for Joe Biden, whatever the case may be, will the neighbors, if they're on the other side, are they still going to, what's their reaction going to be? Is their reaction going to be the same as mine, or are they going to be less like my kids right now, they like going to the neighbors to pet the dogs. We don't have a dog. So they like to go over there. If our neighbors don't agree with us politically and they see that sign, are they going to be less likely to let my kids pet their dog? Things like that. I'm worried about not retaliation, but will the treatment of my kids be different based upon something they have no control over? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you would think that mature folks and people, you know, certainly that could be sensible, we kind of put that aside, you know. Unfortunately, throughout our country, that certainly doesn't happen. So obviously, right, in certain areas, that I bet you definitely happens, where you would have a situation where they tell the kids, "Get off my lawn because your dad's got this Trump sign." You know, that whole routine. You know that happens.
Yep.
I don't know. I think a sensible person, you know, would be able to sit back and say, "Okay, they support Trump, or they support Biden, or they support whoever, and that's their right. I'm not going to treat them any differently just because they do that." But
right.
As you know, in our country, that doesn't happen.
Well, I think we're going to put some signs out, so
get to it.
I'll let you know what happens.
Please do. And Ted, once again, good discussion today. Once again, anybody listening, they have some feedback for us or anything like that, don't be afraid to put some comments on Facebook. And Ted, before we cut off here, I do have to ask this question. I've asked this question now twice.
Yep.
Has your wife, Erica, listened to this show yet?
This podcast?
This podcast, yes.
What podcast?
There we go. That answers my question.
Ow. She's not on Facebook too often. But I know she's been on twice in the last week because she's commented on other things involving other family members.
Okay.
So she's been on, and she.
Well, I'm gonna ask you this question: yeah. Are you Facebook friends with her?
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay. Just want to double check.
Me. Yeah, she tagged me on something this morning.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, absolutely. So.
Well, we're gonna see. We're gonna see if this could be like a Lou Gehrig streak.
Yeah.
How many weeks in a row can Erica not listen to the podcast?
We're at 7 days so far. 7 days.
That's outstanding.
All right. Well. There we go. We got our opinions on COVID confusion and a little bit on political yard signs. So that's it for this week. We'll see what we can come up with for next week. And I guess until next week, the thing I'd ask everybody to keep in mind is if you like our opinion or you disagree with our opinion, please just keep in mind we are just two middle-aged men in Cleveland.